I'll just launch right into it here. Before we start with what's going to be about a little shy of 15 minutes of more prepared remarks, I just want to say, how awesome is this? I mean, I wish everybody here could see what I'm seeing right now, and I've seen what I saw last year at exactly this same session, at exactly this same conference. Let's do another hand-raising thing. Who in this room didn't know what room this was going to be in this morning? Look around. I mean, we have to make announcements about how to find seats. It reminds me of that scene in Jaws. You know, like, looks like we're going to need a bigger boat. And it is, it may be, aside from anything that I'm about to say, the greatest testimony to this special moment that we have at hand on this issue, this interest, and really at the end of the day, all of you. So thank you for trekking out here to North Dakota or wherever we are to come to a room where you didn't expect to be to have this conversation, because that's really what this is about, and that's what pushes us to the tipping point here. And of course, thank you to the American Public Health Association. We so value our partnership. It is beyond an honor to be on a panel like this in such a esteemed company. Thanks to all of you for joining us for this important conversation about the epidemic of gun violence in America and the energized movement that you are all testimony to that is happening right now across this country to make it stop. Your voices and the APHA's partnership are so incredibly important, because for too long, people have viewed the issue of gun violence prevention through a political lens. But as everyone in this room knows, that is wrong. There are 32,000 gun deaths in our nation every year. Simply put, gun violence is one of the most important public health issues we face in our country today. I met Jim and Sarah Brady after my own firsthand experience with gun violence, like too many people. It's how I come to this issue. My brother was shot in the head during a mass shooting on the observation deck of the Empire State Building. I left my career in advertising to dedicate my life to this issue. I know what families who have experienced gun violence, I know what they endure firsthand. And in addition to my own experience, I talk with and work with families who experience their own tragedies every day. We all hear so much about these terrible mass shootings as each new school or town becomes the latest addition to our sad national lexicon around gun violence. Sandy Hook, Charleston, most recently Umpqua Community College in Oregon. But every day in our country, 89 people die from gunshots on average, including 7 children and teens. And when I talk with these families, we all want the same thing. We want what the American public wants, which is sensible solutions to reduce gun deaths and injuries in our nation and make this the safer nation that we all want and deserve. And that's where Brady comes in. Our mission is to cut gun deaths in half by 2025. What's the, Judith, I don't want to put you on the spot, or Woody, what's the APHA's goal? The safest, healthiest generation within a generation, right? Or a healthiest nation within a generation. You're not going to get there without doing this. And it's a bold mission like yours, but it is achievable. And here's the thing that the gun lobby, the gun manufacturers and their lobbyists don't want you to know. We can do it just by keeping guns out of the hands of the people that we all agree shouldn't have them, like violent felons, like domestic abusers, and of course, children. And at Brady, we focus on 3 big opportunities to do just that, to keep guns out of the wrong hands. Number 1, we are going to finish the job that Jim and Sarah Brady and this organization and the Brady Law started and expand life-saving Brady background checks to all gun sales in our country, including gun shows and online, where every day thousands of gun sales in our nation go unchecked. Number two, and this is an important conversation here in Chicago because it has to do with a lot of the crime and violence that's happening on the streets of Chicago. We're going to stop what we call bad apple gun dealers. These are the small number of gun dealers who sell a gun to anyone just to make a profit and wind up supplying virtually our entire criminal market with guns. 5% of gun dealers sell 90% of crime guns, and it's devastating communities across the country, including Chicago, and we are going to put an end to that. Number three, and the most relevant to this conversation today, we have public health and safety campaigns like the Ask campaign to keep guns out of the hands of children and beat back the gun lobby myth that a gun in the home makes you safer. Now, I know as public health professionals, and we heard David talk about it a little while earlier, most of you here are already committed to these solutions, and you're already making an important difference, and I hope you all appreciate the difference that you are making with your involvement. But in recent years, the chances are also that, as David expressed, many of you have felt a little frustrated, especially with our lawmakers. And believe me, after having dedicated almost 2 decades of my life to this issue, I feel you. There are times that I've been there myself, watching as our nation endures massacre after massacre, seeming to ask ourselves the same questions. What is it going to take to get something done? How many more children have to die in a school shooting? How many more places, from malls to movie theaters to churches, have to become the latest graphic testimony to a new normal in our country? How many more people have to die than the 89 that are killed with bullets every single day in our country? We've repeatedly asked these questions, only to see lawmakers in Washington sit on their hands, or in states like Florida, much worse. But folks, I am so pleased to be able to stand here today and say that we really don't have to ask ourselves these questions anymore, because we have our answer. We have crossed a threshold. Real change is in the air. You are all testimony to it, and the tipping point for our issue has finally arrived. For every great social movement, there's a moment when we look back and say, usually in hindsight, you know, that's when things really started to change, when they started to turn. And I'm here to say that for the epidemic of gun violence in America, that moment is here. And it's because finally the American public, not only victims like me or advocates like all of us, but everyone is finally coming together based on our common goals and our common values to say enough. Enough of the mass shootings, enough of 89 people dying every day, and enough of a small group of craven politicians putting the interests of a corporate lobby ahead of our health and safety. We are better than this. And that is exactly what is happening finally on the gun violence issue. And what makes this moment different, what makes it a tipping point, is that now the voices of advocates like us are being echoed and amplified by the broader American public. And it's all manifesting itself in real progress and real change that only recently would have been considered unthinkable. Still a lot of work to do, but I want to take a moment to give you a few examples of that real progress and real change that defines this tipping point. First, let's start where most conversations in our country seem to begin, with Kim Kardashian. Here's the thing. I'm only partially joking. Think about issues from smoking to drunk driving to success of same-sex marriage. All those conversations really changed when they have transcended politics and advocacy and started to take on a life of their own that we can't control anymore in popular culture. And that is exactly what's happening right now on the gun violence issue. In just the past few weeks, we've seen TV shows like Black-ish. I don't know if any of you saw that amazing. I see some heads nodding. Amazing episode. And Saturday Night Live make powerful points through comedy, Real cultural influencers are speaking out everywhere. Howard Stern talked about his support of background checks to his millions of listeners. Perez Hilton has been writing about it regularly. And yes, Kim Kardashian made a passionate, unsolicited appeal for background checks to her more than 35 million Twitter followers. I will repeat, not only passionate, unsolicited. We didn't ask her to do this. Part of this rising tide that's happening. People are realizing it on their own. Brady's rallying the Hollywood community around this hashtag enough campaign and working to integrate more powerful storylines into more TV shows about subjects like the dangers of guns in the home. We saw how that's created the same kind of change on other issues. In fact, after this conversation today, I'm going to the set of Empire. I might be the only person in America who doesn't watch it, so it's going to kind of be lost on me, but to talk to them about the opportunities there, and the energy and enthusiasm around these efforts is incredibly inspiring. I will raffle off if somebody wants to join me to support Brady. it just crossed my mind. Why didn't I think of this? I'm getting lazy here. Next, let's look at what so far has been most definitely another form of entertainment, the 2016 presidential race. Gun violence has emerged as a central issue, and we need to appreciate how significant that is. Think about it. Guns were almost the classic third rail issue, even for Democrats, and now major presidential candidates are actually running on the issue. Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley have basically made Brady's platform centerpieces of their campaigns. In the Democratic debate, CNN devoted the first issue question to gun violence, calling it one of the toughest challenges facing our nation. We may take it for granted now because of everything that's going on, unthinkable 4 years ago. And candidates were literally, talk about unthinkable, falling over each other, not only to demonstrate their stance for sensible gun laws, but actually bragging about their negative NRA ratings. For those of us who've been working on this issue for years, it's almost surreal to watch, right? I mean, yeah, it is surreal to watch. And on the other end, the media is calling out candidates more and more for outrageous, out-of-touch statements and positions. Comments like Jeb Bush's "stuff happens" after the shooting in Oregon, they're no longer simply brushed off, and we're making sure that's the case. Those same old tired gun lobby talking points are no longer taken at face value by the media or the public. Tell me how background checks or gun responsibility conflicts with your belief in the Second Amendment. Tell me. Or with the views of your rural constituents, or with the rights of anyone who's already not allowed to own guns. And tough questions aren't just limited to Republicans, because sorry, Brady is not an arm of the Democratic Party. We are a one-issue organization, and it's an issue that is killing 89 people in our country every day. We forced Bernie Sanders to explain and ultimately backtrack on some very bad votes that he very comfortably defended until very recently. We're holding the feet of the Senate Democrats to the fire to do more like we know they can be doing. Suddenly, this has become an issue that the candidates on the wrong side are not so excited to talk about, and the ones that are on our side finally are. And at the center of these efforts has been Brady and its supporters and this growing movement across the country, getting our national debate questions asked, supporting candidates for doing the right thing, and bashing those that don't. And we only plan to continue together to turn up the heat on that going into 2016. Then let's look at what has always been our strongest asset, our greatest hope, and that's such overwhelming public support. And as impossible as it seems, that support only continues to increase. Now an astounding 93% of the American public supports expanding Brady background checks to all gun sales, including 90% of Republican voters, more than 80% of gun owners, 74% of NRA members. But really, our problem has never been popular support. It's been the disgraceful disconnect between the American public and the politicians that we have elected to serve us. And again, I am pleased to report that that disconnect is closing and the pressure is mounting. And it's not just manifesting itself in momentum, but in real change. Since the unthinkable tragedy at Sandy Hook and the failure of Congress to expand background checks to all gun sales, we have taken the fight to the states and we are winning. In fact, since Sandy Hook, six states, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, New York, Oregon, and Washington have expanded Brady background checks to all gun sales. We're already on the ballot next year in Nevada for a citizens initiative, and now we're all in supporting the citizens of Maine to gather the 61,123 signatures that are necessary to get it on the ballot there in 2016. And these ballot initiatives, where citizens can vote directly on a new law, illuminate a real path forward, because it turns out it's a lot easier for the gun lobby to bully a small group of politicians than it is for them to bully millions of voters. We are going to win in Maine and in Nevada. And after we do, there are 14 more states that have this ballot initiative process that don't have expanded background checks. And we plan to continue this march, marriage equality style, across this country, making this nation safer state by state, if that's what it takes, until Congress, almost always the last to get it, ultimately gets a message from the American public that they can no longer ignore. As I've said, the bottom line is that stopping gun deaths starts by keeping guns out of the wrong hands. And that, of course, includes children. Guns are the second leading cause of death among children and teens in our nation. More than 17,000 American children and teens are injured or killed with bullets each year. 48 young people are shot every single day. 7 are killed. And so many of these tragedies, thousands every year, are with guns parents bring into the home, certainly not with bad intent, but absolutely with bad information about the risks. 1 in 3 homes with kids in the U.S. have guns. Nearly 1.7 million children live in homes with an unlocked and loaded gun. And so much of this is the result of the lies the corporate gun lobby has been feeding the American people so they can do the only thing they really care about, which is sell more guns without any concern whose hands they wind up in. And I want to show you the impact of all of those lies. I was speaking with a group of supporters the other day, and I was struggling to find a word for what the gun lobby tells us that was appropriate, stronger than lies, but short of profane. One of our supporters suggested the word feculent. I thought this would be an appropriate workaround. David said poop. The scientist said poop before, but such a well-educated group of health professionals. So anyway, here's the real impact of the gun lobby feculents. Here's the percentage of the American people who 10 years ago thought that a gun made a home safer, 42%. Now, here's that percentage today. That's right. Thanks to the marketing efforts of the gun lobby and the irrational fear and paranoia, they make it their business to create, 63% of the American public now believes that a gun makes their families safer. And every day, across our nation, children are being killed and injured with these guns. 9 children are shot in our country unintentionally every single day, almost all with a parent's gun. More than 800 children and teens take their own lives every year. The overwhelming majority with a parent's gun. This is even the case with school shootings. In fact, in more than 2/3 of school shootings, the gun came from the home of the attacker or a friend or relative. It was obviously the case in the enormous tragedy at Sandy Hook. That's right. When it comes to school shootings, the first line of defense is most often parents having responsible and safer attitudes about the dangers of kids having access to guns in the home. Every day, it seems, we hear children who are shot or killed because of a gun a parent brought into a home for protection. These parents, and it's important for us to realize this, and there may be some gun owners in this audience, not bad people, well-intended people very often. They just made a really bad decision based on really bad information put into their heads by the corporate gun lobby, really bad people, so they could sell more guns without any concern whose hands they wind up in or what kind of carnage they cause. That is feculence. And once again, it is time we say enough. And doing that requires having an honest conversation in our country about the dangers of guns in the home. Our Ask campaign has been helping to inspire that conversation for 15 years, inspiring parents nationwide to start asking if their guns where their kids play. We launched Ask in partnership with the American Academy of Pediatrics, and since then have partnered with health departments and literally thousands of public health advocates across the country. And you know what? Since we launched that campaign in 2000, according to the CDC, 900 fewer children and teens are killed with guns each year, and the number of unintentional shootings has dropped by 42%. There is absolutely no doubt that people are alive today because of our work together around the Ask campaign. Another important way Brady proudly partners with the public health community is in the fight to keep the gun lobby out of physicians' exam rooms. That is a fight right now that's focused on Florida, and we are committed with every fiber of our being to winning it because it's literally a matter of life and death for our children. Now, I was, just to wrap things up here, recently flying across country to talk to a group like this, and a woman sitting next to me happened to be binge-watching one of my favorite TV shows as a former Madison Avenue guy, Mad Men. And as I was trying to think about how I would end my remarks for that speech, I would glance over at the screen every now and then, and it seemed that every time I looked up, I saw someone smoking in an office or around children or even while pregnant or littering or ignoring suffocation hazards or driving without seatbelts or driving drunk. And the ones who laughed on suffocation hazard are thinking of that spaceman scene, right, where they put the plastic bag over their head. And eventually it dawned on me that of all things, the show Mad Men actually provides tremendous inspiration for all of us committed to preventing gun deaths and injuries. I mean, look at how much the world has changed in a relatively short time, in a generation, how dangerous behaviors that were commonplace, even glamorous in a lot of cases, have become stigmatized in just a generation or two once they became real conversations about public health and safety. That is the power of the Ask campaign. That is the importance of your leadership as public health professionals. So thank you for all that you have done and continue to do. Thank you for making this nation safe. You don't have to applaud at the end. I just want to finish this thought because it's really important just to establish that vision. But I just want to, let's say that thank you is for all of you for helping to spread the conversation, for pushing this issue over the tipping point toward a future where maybe someday, just to wrap it up with that madman vision, maybe some future generation will watch a period TV show like that and look at this epidemic of gun violence that we suffer from right now and only be able to imagine what a terrible epidemic it must have been. Thanks.